Well, hello everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. Open lines at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned, to take part, to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're at, I think, just a wonderful time of the year when we have an opportunity to look back on 2013 and all of the blessings that we've experienced in the prior year, and then to take that as a way to look forward to 2014. If we realize all the wonderful things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus in the previous year, we can look forward with great expectation as to all the things that he's going to do in and through us in the new year. And so in light of that, I want to read Psalm 103, just the first three verses or four verses. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. That's how we're to live each and every day, with praise in our heart and praise on our lips for Jesus Christ, yeah. For the fact that we know him personally, the fact that we are loved by him, the fact that he has saved us, has forgiven us, has done all of these wonderful things. And David speaks of that in this particular psalm. So he says, I want to praise the Lord with all my heart. So he says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. You know, that's a problem that many of us have. We forget. Yeah. Our memories aren't so good. We always are asking, Lord, what have you done for me lately? You know, we forget about what he did for us yesterday or the day before. It's like right now.
Right.
I need you to do something for me right now. But David is saying, may we never forget the good things that he does for us. He forgives all our sins. If you're in Christ, you're a forgiven person. He has forgiven all of your sins. He heals all of your diseases. We think of that as physical diseases, but I think of it in terms of the soul. We see that in the New Testament when the writers of the New Testament talk about the healing of diseases. It's not so much the physical diseases as it is the soulish diseases. The anxieties that we experience, the fears, the worries, the heartaches, the brokenness that we have. God heals all that in Christ Jesus. He redeems us from death and crowns us with love and tender mercies. How about that one? The fact that he crowns us with love and tender mercies so that we can go through life knowing that we are truly loved by God. There's no better way to live than living loved by him. And he fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. That's amazing stuff right there. And David didn't know that all of that was going to be fulfilled for us in Christ Jesus. But he was forward thinking, not knowing exactly the detail. He was forward thinking, pointing to a time when a person would come and fulfill all of these things for us. So in Christ, we can praise the Lord each and every day. We can remember all the good things that he does for us, the fact that he's forgiven our sins, that he heals our hearts and our emotions and our souls and has redeemed us and has crowned us with love and tender mercies.
Yeah.
Let's start the new year praising the Lord for what he's done for us in 2013 and expecting incredible things in 2014.
That's good news, and this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Plenty of open lines. We'd love for you to be a part of this conversation. You can do so by calling 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Lines available right now, wide open, as a matter of fact. Lots of time on the clock, plenty of time to address your question or your particular need right here on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. Question from Kelly from Tampa, Florida, Bob, and the subject is God in control? She says, this question was asked in our study group by a member who thinks God is not in control due to the loss of a loved one from cancer. If he is in control, why does he allow this to happen? Thank you kindly for your insight into this matter. That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Well, that's an interesting question, and that is the age-old question. You know, if God really loves us, if God really cares for us, why does he allow suffering in this world? Why does he allow the death of loved ones, the death of babies, all of the pain and sorrow and tragedy that we see that goes on in this world today? If he truly loves us, why would he allow that to happen? And so folks take that and say, well, maybe he doesn't love us, or maybe he doesn't have the power to stop it. Well, he does have the power to stop those things, but he has other purposes in mind. There's this great rescue plan that he's engaged in through Christ Jesus. He's rescuing us out of the world of sin and darkness and placing us into the kingdom of his Son. That's what he's interested in doing. And when we look down through the corridors of time, we see that's what he's always been about, rescuing us from sin and death. And we see that he has the power to do so in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our greatest need, death. We're all going to die. And we have to ask the question, does God have power over death? That was on Abraham's mind when God told him to sacrifice Isaac. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just imagine what Abraham went through when he heard those words from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Take this son of yours, the son that you love, and journey to Mount Moriah and lay him on an altar and take a knife and pierce him through and let that blood trickle out until he dies. Take his life. And Abraham started thinking, wait a minute, Isaac is a son of promise. God said to me that through him, the world is going to be blessed. So obviously, if God wants me to take his life, then God must have the power to bring him back to life. That's what Abraham reasoned. The writers of the New Testament talk about that. And so in this world of pain and sorrow and sin and struggle and heartbreak and brokenness and all of that, death is the ultimate end. And yet God has proven that he has power over death.
Right.
And he rescues us from that power through faith in Jesus Christ. Is God in control? You bet he is.
Yeah.
He is over every single thing, even has conquered death. And when we realize that's the gospel story, that's what God is all about, raising us up from death so that we can experience new life in him, then we can answer confidently that, yes, God is in control.
Yes, indeed. Well, Kelly, hope you're listening, as I'm sure you are, and hope this has been a help to you. Plenty of open lines, and friends, don't squander this opportunity to get your question answered or to address your particular life situation. We have open lines and plenty of time on the clock. That number, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Bob, we're, of course, just a little over 24 hours, not much more than 24 hours away from the end of the year. Tomorrow night, midnight, we will start to count it down. So we hope that our listeners will step up to the plate and join us, those who have not. And we have a little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. It's available for a gift of any amount to a basic gospel. And if you would like to make a gift, we hope that you will stand with us. We need about, I think you said, what, around $130,000, $140,000 to come in to meet budgetary needs. And so we hope that many of our listeners will step up, if you have not yet done so, and become a part of the support of this ministry. We really need to hear from you, and we hope you'll stand with us. Again, give Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You can go online to basicgospel.net and make your gift, or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828, for your copy of Forgiveness, The Door to Life.
Yes, indeed, and we hope to hear from many of you before midnight tomorrow night. So if this ministry has touched your heart, if you've gained an understanding of the forgiveness of sins that you have in Christ, you've realized that salvation is more than just forgiveness, that it's resurrection life, it's Christ coming to live inside of you, make a difference in somebody else's life. I guarantee you For every 10 people you meet, 8 or 9 of them are confused about the basic gospel message. Mm-hmm. And here's a way to help bring some clarity to that confusion, to give people a real clear understanding of what this gospel message is through a gift to basic gospel. So we need, you know, 400, 500 of you to step up to the plate between now and tomorrow night at midnight with a gift to basic gospel. And there are 3 ways to give: online, by phone on your credit card, or dropping a check in the mail. Any of those ways are wonderful ways to support basic gospel. But I would like to have 500. I would love to see 500 people between now and tomorrow night step up to the plate and make a gift to basic gospel. Yeah. I don't care how much it is. It could be $5. It could be $50. It could be $5,000. Whatever you can do joyfully, cheerfully, with a smile on your face, do it today. We need your help. Why? Because people need the Lord.
Absolutely.
And this is a wonderful way to connect them to the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Support it today.
You bet. And Bob, we have a little time on the clock. And friends, if you have been a part of the support of this ministry and it's really made an impact in your life, give us a call. Encourage others to be a part of it as well. We'd love to hear a short testimony of how the ministry has impacted your life, the message of God's life and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. 1-800-677-9377. To call quickly. Time's ticking away. Don't want to lose this opportunity. In the meantime, a question from Teresa in Arizona. She says, I have a family member that is a born-again believer, and she wants a church that is as close as possible to the ones the apostles started. She's looking for into the Eastern Orthodox Church and says it can be traced back to the apostles and that it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. She says, I did a little research on it, and it seems that they have a lot of beliefs that are not biblical. What's your take on this? She says, I thank God for your ministry, and God bless you all at Basic Gospel.
Well, Bob, that's always a question that people have. You know, what is the right church to attend? Can I find one out there? And I know there are many people struggling to find a church home. They're not comfortable with maybe the denomination that they grew up with. They're not comfortable with maybe some of the new churches that they've visited. And they're left scratching their heads wondering, is there a church out there for me? Well, God knows your needs. You were meant for fellowship. When God saved you, he didn't leave you by yourself. He came to live inside of you. But he also joined you to every other believer on the planet. You were added to the body of Christ. And so we know deep inside that we belong to this greater body of believers. And it's a natural desire to want to connect with them.
Yeah.
Where? How? With who? Those are the questions that we ask as far as church is concerned. And then when we bring up church, we say, well, is there one like the churches in the New Testament? Well, gosh, yeah, there's a lot of churches.
Yeah.
Well, why do I say that? Because all of the churches that are talked about in the New Testament had problems. Mm-hmm. Do you want to find a church like the Corinthian church? Well, they're some churches out there exist that have divisions, that have inbiting, that have, judgmental attitudes and all of those sort of things. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church, in the church at Galatia. They were trying to figure out, you know, how do we live? Are we supposed to become Jewish and follow all the festivals and carry out that? Or can we just maintain our Gentile status and love the Lord and fellowship just based around the gospel of Christ? So there was an issue there in the book of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. There was a group that John said had lost their first love. Mm-hmm. They were doing some really good things. They were righteously indignant over all of the evil that was going on in the world, but they had lost sight of Christ. Can you find a place like that today? Absolutely. Those churches exist. So it's not about going back and trying to replicate what was happening, you know, 2,000 years ago. It's about trusting the Lord to do something today. And we go to church. We try to find a church. We're trying to look for a group that's going to help meet our needs. And I think that's a wrong approach. We're a part of the body. We're to be a blessing to the body, a benefit to the body. So we should find a place that believes much like we do and go and serve that body. Go and be involved in it. Be encouraging to others within that body. Help others along their journey of faith. Serve others in the love of Christ Jesus. So a lot of times we approach it from the wrong perspective. We're kind of like what J.F. Kennedy said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We're thinking in church of what can that church do for me? Yeah. Well, you're going to get out of a fellowship group what you put in. Your investment of love into the lives of others is going to come back 100 times over in very, very positive ways. It's more blessed to give than receive. So trust the Lord. Walk in His love, His grace. Make yourself available to Him to be used in the lives of others. And I think this church question will answer itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Teresa, I hope that's been a help to you. And friends, again, if you have a question, can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email. You can find the prominent link at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. We'd love to hear from you by email if we can't hear from you by phone. Bob, loosely connected to the question you just answered is this one from Terry, who lives in Arizona. If the church is the body of Christian believers, why are the seven churches in Asia Minor told to repent? I thought once we were in Christ, we didn't have to repent. Once we come into the light, we will always be in the light. Please comment on that.
Well, it's a good question, and I think the answer gets down to the fact that those were messages to churches, not to individuals. So the message would be given to a leader of a particular church, and it's saying this is basically the characteristic of this particular group. Like I said just a minute ago, as far as the message to the church at Ephesus was concerned, they were doing some wonderful things. They were righteous and standing up for righteousness in culture. Yet, in doing so, they neglected the weightier things of the gospel, and that's the fact that they were saved to experience a relationship with Christ. And so they had strayed away from their first love and replaced that, substituted that, for all of these righteous acts to impact society, to make a difference in culture, to rid the world of sin, as if we could do that. And so there was a message to them saying, recognize this. Recognize what's going on and change your minds. Realize that it's more important to devote yourself to your first love and to abide in Him than it is to get out there and do all these things. It's not that those things aren't important, and that's what the message was saying, but there's something of more importance. So get your priorities right. So it was a message to the churches. Now, as far as individuals, we're changing our minds all the time. If I'm in a situation where I keep giving in to the same temptation time and time and time again, it's because I'm not viewing life correctly in that area. I'm thinking that that particular temptation, that particular sin, is going to be more beneficial to me than trusting the Lord. Well, I need to repent of that attitude. I need to change my thinking on that attitude. And that comes through God's grace. God's grace works in our hearts in such a way to bring us to a point where our minds can change and we can learn to say no to that temptation and yes to Jesus Christ. As Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, you need to recognize that you're walking after the desires of the flesh. If that's the case, realize that that's not any good. That's not going to benefit you in any way. Change your thinking so that you can now walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's something that we all do, you know, almost daily as children of God.
Absolutely. Well, Terry, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. Bob, a question from Connie in Wilmington, North Carolina. Matthew 16, verses 18 through 20, that's a passage, she says, that I can't seem to understand. Would you please be kind enough to share your thoughts? That's from Connie in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Actually love that particular passage. It takes place in Caesarea Philippi. Jesus has gathered his disciples around him, has taken them north of the Sea of Galilee, kind of out of the, you know, hustle and bustle of what was going on around the Sea of Galilee and you know, further south in Jerusalem. And he talks to them, and he asks this important question, who do you say that I am? And Simon or Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he had answered that question correctly, and Jesus simply said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. The truth about Jesus is a spiritual truth, and it can only be revealed to us spiritually. That's why there's so much confusion about the identity of Christ. People are trying to figure out who he is through their own understanding, through their own intellect. But here clearly it says that we need a revelation from God himself to know who Jesus Christ is. Then he goes on to say, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Well, the rock is not Peter. Although the word Peter means rock, the rock is the confession that Peter made, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he indeed is the Christ. When I make that confession, when I made that confession, I was added to the church. So the church grows. The church is being built. As others make that same confession, the church is growing. It is being built. So that's the confession upon which the church is built. That's the rock, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Hades will not overcome it. Satan can do everything in his power. Yes. He can call upon all of his minions and all of his demons to try to stop the church, but Hades will not overcome the church. That confession is too strong, too powerful, too enduring to ever crumble, to ever shake, to ever fall.
Yeah.
It will withstand the very power of Satan. And then he goes on to say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the key, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through that gospel message, those that are bound up are set free. Those who are you know, in bondage are loosed. Those who have broken hearts, those are mended. Those are bound together. That's what the gospel message does. And we've been given that authority to speak that message into the lives of others and see others be saved.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you that tomorrow night at midnight, we would love to hear from quite a number of you. If you agree that this message is vital to the body of Christ in your area, and if what you hear each day on this program is benefiting you, we need you to help keep the good news coming. We believe it's the most important message on the airwaves. It's why we are here every day, and we have to believe it's why you listen as often as you can. But as you've heard, it requires financial resources to remain on the air. In fact, we need to see additional donations of around $130,000 by the end of this month. And we know that many of you can step up with a significant year-end gift to help meet that need by midnight tomorrow night. $10, $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000. Every gift, no matter the size, helps. But we hope we can count on you to keep this message on the air. No one else is going to do it, so we need your help. We need you to stand with us right now before the clock strikes midnight tomorrow night. Whatever you can do, we need you to stand with us. As a reminder, the booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, is yours for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your request gift, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.